from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's April the 9th, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, the CBO says corn-based ethanol is accountable for about 0.5% of the increase in food prices early last year. That's contrary to the public relations campaign of the National Grocers Association, which laid the blame squarely on ethanol. With one fire extinguished, another starts. The NPPC, the pork producers, are expressing concerns over expanding the blend limits for corn-based ethanol. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear how the soil fertility and plant nutrition specialist at the University of Illinois says farmers should deal with time and space as it relates to nitrogen application and the planting season. And don't forget, at the end of the half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, the last trading day of the week, futures finished the day like this. Nearby May wheat at $5.22, a dime lower. July at 5.33 and a half, down 10 and a quarter, and September at 5.60 and a half, 10 cents lower. December wheat at 5.83 and a half, 9 cents lower on the afternoon. May corn futures down 6 and 3 quarters at 3.90 and a quarter. July at 3.99 and 3 quarters, 7 lower. September at $4.09 and a half, down 6 and 3 quarters. In December, the new crop harvest month at $4.21 and 3 quarters a bushel, down 6 cents. March futures 2010, 4.33 and a quarter, down 5 and 1 quarter on the afternoon. Soybean futures nearby May contract at $10.07, a penny higher. July up a half at 10.02. August 9.80, 3 cents higher. September at 9.44, up 3. November beans 9.22. Up 6 cents on their settlement in the January contract at 2010, of 2010 that is, at $9.30 and a half, up 8 cents for the day. May bean meal $1.10 lower at $3.11.20, July at $3.06.40, down 1.10, May oil at $35.42, 43 higher on the afternoon. April live cattle 87.52 and a half, up 147 and a half, the April feeders at 98.15, up 157 and a half. And the April lean hogs, $58 even, 37.5 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil settlement prices for the afternoon in the May contract at $52.24 a barrel, up $2.86. The June at $54.69, up $2.62 for the day. May ethanol $1.55 and a half, 2 cents lower. May natural gas at $3.60 and 8 cents, down 2 and 2 tents. The May RBOB gasoline at $1.48 and 3 tents. That's 4 and 3 tents higher. And the May heating oil diesel fuel at $1.42 and 8 cents. Just about 3 cents higher on the afternoon. Propane futures at 65 and 3 tenths, up 0.7 cents. And the April gold futures at $882.20 an ounce, up $2.60. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 8,061, just about 224 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 85.67 is up 0.45 for the afternoon. And the CRB index on the afternoon currently trading at 227.64. up 3.93. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. Tonight, it says in the central and southern sections of the two-state area, cloudy, periods of rain, heaviest will be in the south. In the north, mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers. Lows will range from 32 in the north to 55 in the far south. Friday, in northern and west central parts of Illinois, decreasing clouds in southern and east central Illinois. Cloudy, showers diminishing by late in the afternoon. In Indiana, it'll be cloudy with some showers and isolated thunderstorms, especially in the south. Highs tomorrow will range from 44 in the northern parts of Indiana to 62 in the southern part of Illinois. At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt all about the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the globe.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Thursday afternoon. Time to check in with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Start with USDA reports for me this morning. Ending stocks figures were out. Corn at 1.7 billion bushels. Soybeans at 165 million for the carryout. And wheat at 696. All those, I think, were within the range of what the trade was expecting.
They were pretty much on the money, really. USDA, I think the traders had the bean estimate somewhere around 167. USDA came in there at 165. The corn number came in a little less, I think, about 17 million bushels. But and the wheat number was right on the money also. So for the most part, it was kind of like, well, what's new? But the market did view anytime you reduce carryout numbers has to be viewed as friendly to the market, especially probably this time of year when there's a lot of uncertainty as what may or may not happen here with new crop prospects.
Tell me a bit more about what happened with the soybean market. It did bounce some, and USDA increased its export markets for soybean.
Yeah, we did, and that's primarily because Argentina, a couple reasons. They've got a smaller crop. The other one is farmers continue to fight with the political leadership in Argentina and remain generally tight holders of soybeans. They've got a lot of beans down there to sell at some point in time, but at the moment they're hanging on to it, waiting on maybe some kind of better deal from the government. But that's the biggest problem, or a supportive influence anyway, on old crop soybeans. We are now down to, like I said, 165, which is the lowest we've had in about 4 or 5 years, back to, I think, 03, 04 levels. The last time we were at $10, other than the past 12 months here. So, you know, that is generally supportive, and that should provide some underlying support to the bean complex as we go forward. But we still, the trade is going to still anticipate those Argentina beans coming to the world market at some point in time here during the summer months.
You like higher highs and higher lows on the chart place, and that's the case in both the lead option and the November futures for soybeans.
But we did, but we put a very disappointing close in today.
Right.
I mean, for the most part, corn's got a pretty good outside down. We're up, you know, 5, 6, 7 on the open. Now we close about 5, 6 lower. So we do have what we'd call kind of an outside down. It's not a real massive down. But it was a little disappointing close when you take into account the general friendliness of the corn supply demand table that we were looking at this morning. But, you know, weather, we're in a weather market, and a lot of your weather forecasters begin to start reading the second week of the next 2 weeks' forecast as a little drier as we went through the day. So there is some anticipation or ideas that maybe we come in here Monday morning and the next week's forecast might begin to allow some pretty good field work.
Mm-hmm. Tell us where you stand on this marketplace for corn. Bearish, bullish, neutral at the time?
Well, I think I'd say over the next 5 days I got to kind of be on a neutral to bearish stance. I think we're in a kind of a consolidation to down mode. We got some, a lot of these indicators did reach some overbought levels. But I think we still should have one more push to the upside before we go into, you know, that May, first part of May time frame. But you have to kind of take 1 week at a time here and see how the planting progress goes.
And commercials look like they're pretty bought up on what they their old crop needs are at this time.
Well, the commercials, yeah, you know, for the most part are probably in pretty good shape. The end users continue to be reluctant buyers. They don't want to go too far forward. They're not really expanding too much, if any at all. You know, they do know that farmers still own a large portion of their current inventory that's going to come to the market, and that's a problem we have in the corn market. The corn market rallies. Every little bit it rallies, it buys some corn, and then it sells off. But there's a lot of orders on top of the market that Hopefully farmers will get a chance to get their stuff sold at the price levels that they would like to get here.
Well, therein lies, I suppose, the crux of the matter. Are you a willing seller on these rallies, and at what position for old crop?
Well, I don't like to get into specific recommendations
okay.
simply because of the position I'm in here in Decatur. But, you know, from a market analyst point of view and taking a look at if I'd put my old market advisory hat on, farmers have to use this spring rally to reduce their vulnerability or lay off their risk. And yes, I would be in that camp to be a seller on rallies here. I've kind of been thinking that we maybe have up through May 1, maybe May 15th before we have to really panic. But unless there's a major reason that comes along to hold inventory into the summer, I think that begins to get a little risky. And of course, you know, that the summer market will depend pretty much solely on what kind of weather pattern we have. If it's favorable, I think the market in July could be quite soft. If not, you know, then we're in a full out weather market. But I do think, if you go back here about 5-6 weeks ago, people were wanting a spring rally. It's come. I think farmers need to, you know, lay off the risk on this type of price range.
Okay, so for corn by May 1 or thereabouts in the next, 15 to 20 days, do incremental sales until you're rid of it all unless planting season really gets delayed. May 1 might be not, might we might not know by then.
We may not, and that will, I think, next week's weather forecasts are going to be watched awfully careful by the trade. But, you know, when you look in the past and you look at how the markets performs, for the most part, they don't worry about planting delays until you get into May, at least for 10 days or so. Each year is different, and who knows what the outside market influences might hold for us. But for the most part, they don't really worry about it too much until you get into May 10th, May 20th. But I think the market's got a week or two here before it really worries about planting delays. But my guess is that if not a lot of field work's been done here in the next 2 weeks, there's going to be a lot of people biting their fingernails because we're behind generally because a lot of people didn't get their fall field work done. So there's a lot of work to be done before we do get the planters rolling.
We know where our crop insurance protection is for the new crop. Are you a willing seller of a portion of it in the next few weeks?
Well, I think so. No one knows exactly when the high is going to be and how high the high is going to be. And I've always been in the camp, was taught many years ago by my teacher, Jim Gill, that you space your sales out over the year. And as a market advisor, I've always kind of wanted to get a good chunk of my new crop sales done prior to or shortly after planting. And then you kind of, take 1 week at a time as you go through the growing season on whether or not you want to bump those sales levels up or not.
Now, are you saving beans for Vegas?
There's nothing wrong with holding back, a semi-load or a truckload for Vegas. $10 beans, under the current economic environment, may be tough to beat. I can read the chart on old crop beans, maybe as high as $11 on the futures. That would be about a 38% retracement back of last year's $8 and something decline. So that would be a pretty hard spot, I think, for the new, old crop beans to kind of penetrate. We'd have to have a reason to go beyond that. But weather will do that, we'll have to see how the planting season goes along here.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
That's about all I have, Todd.
All right. Thanks much, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
You are listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of WILL Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Please visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can hear this program anytime you'd like as an MP3 file or sign up to have it delivered to you as a podcast. If you can't get to the website or hear us on a radio station, how about dialing this number, 217-333-3434. We update it 10:15 and 3:15 daily with the numbers from the open and the close and a bit of analysis, 217-333-3434.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Dave Dickey's here now to take a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a new Congressional Budget Office report says expanded corn-based ethanol use contributed 0.5% to 0.8% to the increase in U.S. food prices between April 2007 and April of 2008. That's 10 to 15% of the 5.1% overall increase in food prices during that time. The CBO report says other factors, including higher energy costs, had a greater effect on food prices than did the use of ethanol as a motor fuel. CBO's report is contrary to claims made by the Grocery Manufacturers Association and other food industry groups last year, which argued expanded ethanol production was the primary reason behind the rise in food prices. Meanwhile, the National Pork Producers Council is insisting that the Obama administration study the economic impact of an expansion of corn ethanol production and usage. In a letter to the Secretaries of Agriculture and Energy, the EPA Administrator, and Carol Browner, who is Assistant to the President for Energy and Climate Change, NPPC asked that the administration bring stakeholders together to consider all possible impacts of corn ethanol expansion. NPPC wants the group to consider the extent to which increasing blend limits will further increase market speculation, affect grain and commodity markets, and actually help the ethanol industry. USDA today announced that producers can elect and enroll in the Average Crop Revenue Program, or ACRE, beginning on April 27th. Producers have until August 14th to make their decision for the 2009 crop. Producers who elect the ACRE program for a farm agree to forego countercyclical payments, accept a 20% reduction of the direct payments, and accept a 30% reduction in loan rates for all commodities produced on the farm. Among the commodities eligible for ACRE payments are wheat, corn, oats, and soybeans. Agriculture ministers from the Group of Eight Industrialized Nations will meet later this month to address challenges presented by malnutrition around the world. In preparation for the meeting, Italy, which currently holds the G8's rotating presidency, has prepared a proposal calling for the doubling of the world's agricultural production by 2050 in order to provide greater food security for a global population that is expected to double by that time. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack will lead the U.S. delegation to the meeting that is scheduled for April 18th through April 20th. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, speaking of which, we're going to record that this evening at 4:30. We'll post it to our website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock this evening. The Chicago Board of Trade is closed tomorrow for Good Friday, so on this radio station tomorrow, you'll hear Commodity Week at this time. Be sure to listen in then or visit our website at willag.org to hear Commodity Week. Our guest this week is John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures out of Memphis, Tennessee. Now up next, one of the major issues corn farmers will face this spring is deciding which source of nitrogen to use and to follow up that decision, as you'll hear, with the best possible application practices. The spring of 2009, at least so far, has been wet and cold. It follows a very late harvest season across the Midwest last fall, and the two combined is putting farmers under pressure to get all their field work done before the planters roll. That field work includes the application of major plant nutrients or food like nitrogen. University of Illinois Extension soil fertility and plant nutrition specialist Fabian Fernandez says producers need to remember, under some pressure to move quickly, they need to remember to keep the nitrogen application separated from the plant by either time or place.
So basically apply it at least 5 to 7 days before planting, or if you're applying it and then planting right away, make sure that you're applying that ammonia far away from that root, where the root will be developing.
Well, that means, in the case of anhydrous ammonium, run the field at an angle, not with the rows. Nurse tanks for anhydrous or the application bar may be hard to find this spring. That'll have some farmers looking for nitrogen alternatives, like urea, says Fernandez.
Urea is one of the sources that people are looking at. The important thing with urea is that it needs to be incorporated into the soil. If you are applying it and leaving it in the soil surface, you can run into volatilization issues. Urea will volatilize fairly easy. So if you apply it and you are not incorporating it, make sure that you get rain within 2 to 3 days after the application. If you don't get it incorporated by rain or tillage, then you can lose quite a bit of that urea.
The other source of nitrogen is UAN. It and urea have a couple of things in common with anhydrous ammonia as it relates to applications timed close to planting. Do not apply them down the row.
The concern, of course, is that urea does transform quickly to ammonia, and if you're applying it right on the planting band, you can have the same type of problems that you have with anhydrous ammonia with the urea.
Half of the UAN is made up of urea and so follows the same application protocol. Fernandez says the safest route is to apply in a band on an angle.
People talk about the fact that in some years people have applied nitrogen right in the band without any problems. The way I like to look at this is as a high-risk type of application, because if you have adequate rain, that is typically not a problem, but if you get into a dry spell, that can create toxicity problems. The roots won't grow in there, and you can actually kill the plant too because of that.
If you'd like to read more from Fabian Fernandez on the application of nitrogen, you can do that online at the IPM website, www.ipm.uiuc.edu/bulletin. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt about the weather.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's National Chinese Almond Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1682, Robert de La Salle discovered the mouth of the Mississippi River and claimed the whole Mississippi basin for France. He named it Louisiana in honor of Louis XIV of France. La Salle returned to the New World 2 years later with intent to establish a French colony on the Gulf of Mexico at the mouth of the Mississippi. But the expedition was plagued by pirates and poor navigation, landing on what today is Victoria, Texas. La Salle never saw the Mississippi again. Three attempts to find it on foot failed, and LaSalle was eventually murdered by one of just 36 colonists remaining from the original 300 making the trip. In 1850, William Prout died, an English chemist. He was the first to classify food components into three main divisions: carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. In 1872, Samuel R. Percy of New York received a patent for dried milk. In 1894, R.H. Gray received a patent for a baling press. And in 1922, Sir Patrick Manson died. Manson co-founded a dairy farm in 1886 in Hong Kong, which looked to improve health by supplying cows milk free of contamination by means of stringent hygiene. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Marker Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Online with us on this Thursday afternoon, Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
You brought us beautiful weather today, a little rainfall, and then a great weekend for Easter.
Yeah, there'll be some intervening precipitation, however, tonight and tomorrow across the southern half of the state. Some pretty good precipitation across the region south of I-70, but I don't think it'll get up much, as it won't even get up to I-80. But that'll be late tonight and during tomorrow. That'll pass off to the east, cover most of the eastern Corn Belt on Friday and Saturday. And as you say, we're bringing a nice high-pressure system down to get through the Easter weekend here. It's going to be chilly. Temperatures will be running about 5 to 7 degrees below normal. That means highs around 60, lows near freezing in the morning. But it should be two good days on Saturday and Sunday. And then we're back in the problem areas again. Just the overall picture is one of a series of weather systems lined up, from this first one developing over Kansas today, another one in the Pacific Northwest, a third one out by the Aleutians. All of these things will be proceeding eastward across the U.S., and we'll be getting regular doses of precipitation. Monday and Tuesday look to be wet, and then it'll dry out maybe on Wednesday, and then some more activity coming back late next Thursday. And that seems to be the pattern this spring. We're just going to get these series of weather systems. And that's a little ominous for agriculture, because it's about time we got those fields dried out, and that's not going to happen anytime soon, especially in the southern and eastern portions of the Corn Belt.
So for over the weekend, we've got a couple of nice days, but fairly cool temperatures, not much in the way of evaporation happening, then a series of storms coming for the week. Will temperatures be low at that point, too?
And yeah, what they'll about the be low. Week? They'll creep back towards normal later in the week, but we're still not seeing temperatures getting out of the 60s, the low to mid-60s by the latter part of next week. And we keep getting temperatures down in the 30s at night right on through next Wednesday, and then maybe the minimums will come up a degree or two. But it's really a cold pattern. It's a wet pattern. It's not so wet on the northern half of the belt up in the upper Midwest. That's a relief from the flood-threatened areas up in there. But it is wet down south. And the other problem, of course, has been the one that hasn't been talked about, I think, as much as it deserves. The cold weather we had last week in the southern plains did damage significant amounts of wheat in Oklahoma and Texas. And that'll be starting to show up pretty soon. They probably lost north of 50 million bushels on that one, maybe between 50 and 100 million bushels. That's a lot of bushels to lose on a year that's not going to be a high production year.
And then very, very quickly, the second week, drier in the forecast, or still the same and wet?
No, it's not as wet. That's the best you can do. I don't see anything we would describe as dry. And I think the models are maybe running a little too dry now. They tend to dry this pattern out, but stick with persistence, and you'll be right more often than you're wrong.
Thanks much.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon. Commodity Week will air in this slot tomorrow. We'll put it on our website after 6 tonight at willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lerner Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lerner Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.